This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, but we will be back tomorrow. So this hour, I'm going to do one more little bit, just a few minutes, just less, probably less than a segment, maybe a segment on the White War, as it's known, the Italian campaign of World War I, and then the rest I'll have to get to tomorrow, just doing all kinds of background stuff now. So we'll do that, start a second hour tomorrow. Then we're going to talk about, well, Pete Hegseth, SecDef, he's visiting Panama. Anthony Fauci's still out there saying some things we should talk about. The protests over the weekend. An illegal is on camera saying she's illegal. Why haven't they gotten her yet? All that, emails, Olive Garden, and so much more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. It's been a heavy day.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
And now it's time to get back into World War I. Italy decided it was going to join with Britain and France and Russia, and it was going to declare war on Germany and Austria-Hungary because Austria-Hungary didn't want to give up any territory, didn't want to give anything up. We shouldn't have to do that, and Italy wanted that ground. Now, did the Italian people themselves want this war? Well, like everything, it's complicated. And we love to simplify everything, most definitely history. We love doing that. It's easier to digest. It's easier to understand, but it's complicated. I've probably been researching this particular part of this war for 3 weeks now, and I could give you an opinion from every side of that. I could tell you about Italians. I'm talking about normal people on the ground, regular people who didn't give a crap about anything up north, didn't know anything about it, wasn't their concern. I can tell you normal Italians, people on the ground at the time, they were filled with patriotism. They wanted places they viewed as being rightly Italian. They thought the Austrian-Hungarians, I'm just going to call them the Austrians, they thought the Austrians had stolen it from them. That was Italian territory. It should be Italian territory. We have Italians up there. We shouldn't. Politicians, same thing. The elites, if you have to, of Italy at the time. Some didn't really care about this whole region at all. No big deal. We've got bigger fish to fry. Some, we have to have it. It wasn't a simple affair. But none of that matters now because Italy decided, they made their choice and they decided they had to have this territory. Now, this is a problem for all sides, you see. First, it's actually a huge problem for Austria-Hungary. The problem is this. This is a fading empire, as we discussed. A fading empire that's already quite busy on other fronts. They didn't have the troops. They didn't have everything they needed to fight off a new army, a new country on their southern border. They weren't ready for this fight. But luckily for Austria, neither was Italy. They didn't have the troops. They just didn't have the equipment. Italy, at this point in time, Remember, this is still the colonial era. Go look up an old map of what British properties were at this time. It was all over the planet. This was an era where France had places all over the planet that they controlled. Italy didn't have any of that. Remember, it's brand new. This is a new country. It's young. And why do you, if you ever dig into it in your life, have you ever been jealous? Have you ever had a moment of jealousy, of envy? Everyone has, so don't say, I'm not even a jealous person. I have. If you ever dig into your jealousy, whatever it may be, what's really behind it? You're comparing yourself to someone else. Oh, I'm 43. I'm 43, and I don't have a boat, which I don't. My buddy, he's not even 43. He's 40. He has a boat. He loves it. Why don't I have a boat? Am I a failure? Did I screw? That's what happens. Oh, look at her. She's so, look at how pretty she is. I would kill to have her eyes. Look at how beautiful her hair is. My hair is ugly. You're dogging on yourself. You have a feeling of envy and you're dogging on yourself because you're comparing yourself to someone else's lot in life. Countries are no different. Italy at this point is looking around and they already are kind of feeling treated like second-class citizens because, again, Italians were looked down upon by the blue bloods of Europe. And they didn't have any territories, so they tried to expand. They tried to march troops into Ethiopia. And they really kind of got slapped around in Ethiopia. In the end, Italy won, but there were some embarrassing military affairs for Italy. They looked bad. Their national pride was shaken. They couldn't even expand and beat up on Africa. Everyone beats up on Africa except for Italy. Austria wasn't ready. They weren't prepared to fight a war on this front. Neither were the Italians. The Italians decide, we're going to go. Let's go get this territory up there we want. Austria? They don't know exactly how to approach this initially. So they do the only thing you can do if you don't have the men to defend an area, if you don't have the equipment, pick a new area. Austria is sitting there, we'll call it the foothills, the valleys by the rivers. That's where their troops and things like that are because nobody wants to actually live in the mountains. You can't even live in the mountains. But Austria looks behind them when they hear Italy's coming and they say, well, that would be a whole lot easier to defend. I think we'll go up there. And Austria already had some fortifications started in the mountains. And I really think it would help you, if you are so inclined, and if you're not driving, to look up maybe a picture or two of this specific area. Because when I say mountains, I mean mountains. Chris, not what you Texans call mountains. I mean big boy mountains. This area is called Isonzo, I-S-O-N-Z-O, I believe it is. Isonzo, the Isonzo River. I believe Isonzo is actually a town over there, too. But you can look up Isonzo, Isonzo Valley, Isonzo Mountains, and that'll give you a really good idea of what kind of fighting or where the fighting was taking place. Oh, yeah, I know, Chris. But keep in mind, this was roughly a 300-400-mile front. That's one part of it, but that's what it looked like. Austria looks up there and says, well, why don't we just go up into the mountains? We'll go dig in up there. Italy starts to send troops in, but they're not moving quickly either. It's an unbelievable situation where you have Austria, which is embarrassing and slow and not logistically ready, versus Italy, which might be the only country of any of the major powers who's worse than Austria. Slow, not equipped, not ready. The Italian army was run by a bunch of Nepo baby dorks, meaning this was a country that was used to royalty, used to kings and queens. And so you would essentially buy your way into being an officer. So the officers who are leading these troops aren't the best and the brightest oftentimes. He's the rich kid who's in it for the glory of war. And here's one little side tale for you about how crazy and horrible the Italian officers were. At one point in time, this is far down the road, at one point in time, Italy actually does an attack that works really well. They have the Austrian army on the run, and they have the ability, because the Austrian army's on the run, to chase them down and slaughter them. Instead, they stopped the entire campaign because the Italian officer in charge at the time wanted the glory of riding his favorite horse through the town they just conquered from the Austrians. So he stopped the army from pursuing Austria for 3 days while his horse was brought up so he could ride it through the town. This is the level of ineptitude and, frankly, insanity you are going to encounter repeatedly on this little tale of the Italian campaign. Yeah, Chris, pride. And, because I'm going to leave it here, because we'll get back to all this stuff tomorrow, with all kinds of the nitty-gritty stuff on the ground. At what point do the people who administer a war become criminals? Are they always criminals? I don't think that's reasonable. But when you look at people leading a war, leading their nations into war, and the way they throw away the lives of the men on the ground, at what point does it become a criminal act? If you think they can't ever get to that point, I would highly recommend you tune in again tomorrow. Start of hour two, we will start World War I in the mountains again. Now, let's go to Panama. Let's make fun of New York. Let's talk about Olive Garden. Jake Tapper. Let's talk about Preborn. Let's save somebody's life. Tonight, it's a good time as any. Save someone's life. And for all the waste of our money in the government, isn't it kind of wild to think that saving a baby's life is now tax deductible? You know, Preborn, they save over 200 lives a day with your help by giving these young women ultrasounds. And did you know when you give to Preborn, it's tax deductible? Isn't that crazy? We've had foundations write in and say, they're donating huge sums a year. Some people are donating $28 a month. Mother's Day's coming up. That's a really great time to give to Preborn in somebody's name. $28 buys that ultrasound. Whatever you give, tax deductible, gives a free ultrasound to a woman who's about to abort her baby. There's a baby who needs you tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. All right, that's enough history. We'll be back to do more history tomorrow. Chris is upset that I stopped. You're just going to have to wait until tomorrow. I'll get back to it. We do have some news and other things to get to, shall we? First, Obama's back out there, and man, the things you can get away with when all the American media ran cover for you.
Imagine if I had done any of this. Imagine if I had pulled Fox News' credentials from the White House press corps. You're laughing, but no, this is what's happening.
People do remember that Barack Obama sent the IRS after his political opponents, right? You do remember the name Lois Lerner? And we're still getting information leaked out about this to this day. Of course, Lois Lerner, like every other criminal who works for our government, got off scot-free. But you remember that Barack Obama, rancid little communist that he is, he got elected. And like all communists, he dreamt of using the forces of government against his political opponents. And so he looked at the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, and he thought, wow, we might have an opportunity here. And he had the IRS attack any political opponent of his that might be right wing. Barack Obama did that. I'll let him continue. Go ahead.
Imagine if I'd said to law firms that were representing parties that were upset with policies my administration had initiated, that you will not be allowed into government buildings. We will punish you economically for dissenting from the Affordable Care Act.
You know that the FBI launched an off-the-books investigation into Donald Trump when he was just running for office the first time, right? You do know that. In fact, James Comey, then FBI director, he ran that operation. That operation was so deceptive, so evil, they actually used honeypots. You know what a honeypot is? A honey trap, it's also known as. It's the Soviets were infamous for it, but really any intelligence agency worth their salt uses it. You use a beautiful woman to get information out of a man because beautiful women make men stupid. We just can't help ourselves. The Federal Bureau of Investigation used those women to try to infiltrate the Trump campaign to the point they tapped the Trump campaign. And this all took place under James Comey. But wait, James Comey wasn't the president. FBI director launching an off-the-books investigation into the Republican nominee for president. That's kind of one of those things that's a really, really, really big deal. It's one of those things you're really going to want someone to sign off on. President Barack Obama, he was the one in charge when the Federal Bureau of Investigation launched its evil, evil plan against Donald Trump. Barack Obama took all the forces of government in every way he could, and he aimed them at all of his political enemies. And the beauty, if you're a communist in America, of having all these scandals around you is the American media will ignore all of them and allow you with a straight face to sit on stage one day and tell everybody, look how clean I was. If I'd only done anything wrong, they would have came after me.
Or the Iran deal. We will ferret out students who protest against my policies. It's unimaginable that the same parties that are silent now would have tolerated behavior like that from me or a whole bunch of my predecessors.
And he gets away with things like that because a large portion of the American media are hardcore leftists pretending to be journalists. Brooke Rollins went on CNN with Jake Tapper, and she called him what he was. He didn't like
it. We're now 2 days in, right? You've got 2 days of data. Everyone, especially on your side, on the left, is freaking out.
I'm not on the left.
But at the end of the day, listen, this whole concept. All right, Jake, thank you.
I'm not on the left. This is how they get away with it. This is how they get away with it. I'm not on the left. I'm just a journalist. Just a journalist who, man, I've done some digging and I just can't find anything done wrong by the saintly Barack Obama. But that Donald Trump, he pulled somebody's security clearance. This is an evil tyrant akin to Hitler. This is what they do. And this is how they get away with it. Imagine if I'd done any of these things. It was Barack Obama who greased the skids for all this stuff. But Obama did bring up a point. A point that I'm going to piggyback off of before we get to some emails here. He talked about finding a student and removing the student. What's he discussing? The Trump administration's efforts to go around and find these pro-Hamas protesters, and if they're not American citizens, deport them. Obviously, that guy from Colombia, he's the most famous one right now, wasn't even an American citizen. Here, rabble-rousing, a new protest, a new riot every day. They went in, snatched him up, swooped him up, and sent him home. He wasn't the only one. But I have something I want to ask about those types of actions. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, love, hate, death threats, all that to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll get to some of those emails in a few, but I wanted to play something for you. Because Obama mentioned the arrest and deportation of the pro-Hamas types on university campuses. I saw this over the weekend from a Gracia Martinez Rosas. Here she was on stage.
My name is Gracia Martinez Rosas. I am an immigrant. I am undocumented, unafraid, queer, and unashamed.
I am Gracia Martinez Rosas. I am undocumented, unafraid, queer, and unashamed.
Buenas tardes.
Why isn't she arrested? Just a question. Why isn't she arrested? She's announced that she's undocumented. In fact, she's a pro-communist rioter in this country. Why is she not arrested the same way the Hamas dirtballs were arrested? We shouldn't be playing nice with these people. And it's been a couple months. It's time to stop worrying about the optics. It's time to start snatching up our enemies and sending them out of our country. Why is she not arrested as well? Just another question. Speaking of not arrested, here's Anthony Fauci.
What is likely to happen, I don't know if it's going to be next year or 10 years or 15 or 20 years from now, is the emergence of another respiratory disease. It may be another coronavirus. So my concern, Walter, is that whenever that happens, the next outbreak will be of a respiratory disease that's easily transmissible, that has a significant degree of morbidity.
And we are making this a little bit more dangerous with the cuts and our attitude toward science?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Here's Dr. Peter Marks, former FDA vaccine chief.
I also leave behind a group now gutted that was ready to respond to natural and man-made threats.
Yep.
At any given time, there are many, many viruses that could come. We had a group that was prepared to deal with those. Additionally, I can't go into all the details, but there are man-made threats that we were prepared to deal with.
These people still don't seem to want to accept and acknowledge they gave away the last of their credibility during COVID. And there aren't any warnings left from their mouths that will move people. I warned all of you dirtballs during COVID that you were living high on the hog at the time, but while you were living high on the hog, you were giving away the last of your credibility. And once it was gone, that you were never going to get it back. I warned you dirtballs repeatedly that that was what was happening. And now that it's happened, now they seem to think they can just do the sky is falling thing and that it'll get the same response from people last time. That's the thing. None of these people view their credibility as finite. They feel so prideful They feel so proud of themselves and their credentials and, of course, their knowledge, and we're so stupid. They just feel as if their credibility is without end. It's etched in stone. But that's not how it works. It's not how it works at all, emails. Oracle, seems to me that these arrests of low-hanging fruit, MS-13 gangsters and such, are maybe being done for publicity's sake, while the real criminals out to destroy our country, Elvis Chan, James Comey, Andy McCabe, are untouchable and will continue to ply their evil trade. My suspicions of this are out of pure fear, maybe coming from threats against persons and families. Is it too big for even Patel and Bongino to dig into? His name is Jim. I'll tell you what I told you before. I'll be very careful with how I say this because I've promised confidentiality to some people. So I need you to read between the lines. And if you can't read between the lines, don't email me and ask me to do it for you, okay? Read between the lines. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino are trying very, very hard to fix the FBI. Now, you already know I don't think it can be fixed. That's my opinion. I'm not telling you about me, what I think. I'm telling you what they think. They're trying very hard to fix the FBI. They are very aware of the problems inside the FBI. They're trying. That is their effort. Even if it doesn't always appear that way, that's what their effort is. I do not know if they can succeed. If they cannot succeed, well, then that tells you all you need to know. What we have right now, and I know your frustration, and frankly, I echo your frustration, and I've echoed it to the highest levels. I feel your frustration, and I have passed along the word of how frustrated you are, okay? I want you to understand that. I have done that. If they can't save it, it can't be saved. You can't do better than Trump did when he picked Cash Patel and Dan Bongino to lead the FBI. It's not humanly possible to pick two people with the know-how and the will to try to turn things around. I'm just telling you, me personally, it's obviously no dog on them, one of whom is a friend, Dan Bongino's personal friend. I do not believe that anybody, any human being walking today, can turn around a criminal organization of that size and strength. To ask two people, even with the big chair, director, deputy director, to ask them to turn around a 35,000-person ship that is run by evil Maoists who hate Republicans, it's not possible, I don't believe. Now, maybe they can prove me wrong, but I don't think it's possible. We're going to find out. Look, we'll know. We don't know after 2 months, but we're going to find out. And you're 100% correct. That's the criminality we have to tackle now. Because MS-13 or not, I'm not dismissive of that. We need those monsters out of the country. MS-13 won't end America. An evil FBI will. Period. Jesse, I just read an article about a young lady in the Women's Professional Disc Golf Association refusing to compete against another dude pretending to be a woman. Unfortunately, a common situation in women's sports today. What astonished me was that professional disc golf exists. I thought disc golf was just a replacement for hacky sack for modern-day nerds. He said Chris probably plays, though. Any thoughts? Yeah, Chris played last week. Did you know that? What, Chris? I wanted to be honest with the audience about who you are. And since this guy pointed out that it's a nerd sport and you probably played it, I thought it would be, it doesn't matter what I played, Chris. We're talking about you. I thought it'd just be best for the audience if we could be, what? If we could be totally honest with them. Chris played last week, right? And I bet he throws like a girl. But in full disclosure, we played a lot. We called it Falf. I guess it's called disc golf now. It was always Falf. We called it Falf. We played tons of Falf when I was a kid. And I was pretty good at it. I was, what, Chris? I was. I was pretty good at it. It's, what? It's my natural athleticism, right? When people see me, don't roll your eyes. When people see me move, they're like, wow, is that Pele over there? Is that Michael Jordan? But nope, it's just me. It's me, the Oracle. You know, maybe it's the relief factor. Maybe that's why my body just feels so good now, because it's just like I'm inflammation free. You see, that pain that holds you back from playing Falf the way I play Falf, not like Chris, the way I play Falf, you don't have to live with that pain. You don't have to ignore it, and you don't have to mask it. You can eliminate it. It's possible. You know that. And it's possible without drugs. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors, but it's 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. Your body is already trying to fight that inflammation that's making your back hurt, that's making your knee hurt, your neck. Your body's trying. It needs help. Just a little boost. That's it. That's what Relief Factor is. The longer you take it, the better it works. $19.95 gets you a 3-week quick start. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to try it. If you feel the exact same way you do now after 3 weeks of taking this every day, just don't ever order anymore, ever. Almost everyone orders more for a reason. Stuff's friggin' miraculous, man. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow with whatever news happens to attack us. And then we're going to attack history again. More of our WW1 story, all that. And who knows what else coming up tomorrow on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Dear Oracle, will there come a day when the U.S. dollar goes the way of the continental currency? Oh, of course. Nothing lasts forever, my friend. Nothing. Dear Lady Hands Jesse, that's not very nice. Do you score your wiener and toast your buns? I like to cut slices into the hot dog before cooking and toast the bun before slathering it with mayo. What is your hot dog protocol? Oh, menu whisperer. Says his name is Eric. Well, first, I'm a mayonnaise fan. I like mayonnaise. I don't do mayonnaise on a hot dog. There's something seems profoundly un-American about that. I also don't toast the buns. Chris, do you toast the buns on your hot dog? Is that something you do? You do, though. Chris said when he asked, okay, well, I don't think I've ever toasted a hot dog bun. I prefer them steamed, but I don't have a steamer either. I tell you what I do want to do, though. I'm getting more and more into baseball as I get older. Okay, shut up. You're probably going to hear me bore you with baseball talk on the radio like an ancient human that I am. But I enjoy going to different ballparks. I went to, I've obviously gone to the Astros games before. I've been to where the Padres play. I've been to where the Dodgers play. I've been to these different places. And I've told Ob, hey, whenever we have time, I want to start going to different ballparks. One of my buddies just went to Fenway, Boston, Fenway Park. And he sat on the Green Monster in left field. And he said they're hot dogs. Get this, Chris. He said they go old school and a guy walks around with a big pot. And when you get a dog, he pulls a wiener out, puts it on a piece of white bread, not even a bun, wraps it in a piece of white bread. I don't know whether he puts the toppings on it or whatever for you, hands it to you. I asked my buddy about it. He said, dude, sitting in Boston on top of the Green Monster eating a hot dog like that, I felt like the most American person in the world. Oh, you're right. We have to go, Chris. We have to go. WRKO hostess, we have to go. You know what? We're going. I'm serious. We're friggin' going. We'll go this season. I'll figure something out. Whatever. Whatever. I want to go. But no, I don't score the wiener. And no, I don't toast the buns. I would like a steamer. I do want to think I want to start steaming it. Speaking of high-end food, Olive Garden loses its spot as the top U.S. casual dining restaurant, according to a 7-year report. It should. Olive Garden sucks. Chili's, Applebee's, and Buffalo Wild Wings were right after it. Oh, Texas Roadhouse is the one who beat out Olive Garden. Chili's, Applebee's, and Buffalo Wild Wings are all superior to Olive Garden. I can't stand Olive Garden. My wife loves it. My oldest son loves it. And I've never gotten it. I know that it's pasta, Chris. It's Italian. Did you figure that out on your own? No way. Yes, it is pasta, Chris. I'm aware of that. No, it's not that I'm not a fan of pasta. I love a pasta. I like a good spaghetti and meat sauce, or like I said, Ob's homemade hamburger helper, or mac and cheese. It's not like Olive Garden's gross. I can eat there. I'd much prefer Red Lobster. I'd much prefer Applebee's. Applebee's is underrated, man. They have a chicken fajita roll up there. I'm telling you, it's good. It's really, really good. Their cheese sticks are legitimate. They have a good wing in Applebee's. Don't underrate their wing. Anyway, we should probably do some news.
And now
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Kathy Hochul's $370 million gun control plan includes credit card surveillance of ammo sales, a reminder to you that every single step the American communist makes when it comes to your guns is in an effort to disarm you, and they're trying to disarm you so they can hurt you. I know it doesn't feel like that sometimes. It's never about crime or any of that other stuff. It's not for them. They want to hurt you. The American communist, America's Democrats, they hate your guns because your guns represent a wall they've never been able to climb, the final wall. Can they hurt you? Not while you're armed. Cross the Rubicon. Colorado House passes a bill treating child abuse as a dissent from transgender. That's a weird headline. What they did was they passed that bill that basically it says you have to affirm a child's gender or it's some sort of discrimination. I just cannot believe what has happened to the beautiful state of Colorado. It's freaking heartbreaking. Speedy Gonzalez arrested in a string of Walmart thefts. I only brought this up because Speedy Gonzalez might be the underrated cartoon from my childhood. Remember him, Chris? Did you ever see those? Andale, andale, reba, reba. You'd never get away with that nowadays, ever. There'd always be somebody willing to throw a hissy fit. That's against Mexicans. Secretary of Defense Hegseth to visit Panama amid rising tensions over the canal control. I've always wanted to visit Panama. It's not because I have anything that I really want to do there. It just seems so exotic. And I want to, what, Chris? And I want to wear one of those hats and walk around with a toothpick in my mouth and point out things on the beach. I could be a beach guy, I'm telling you. Members of Congress agree Jerry Nadler is the Capitol's worst-smelling man. Jerry Nadler poops his pants, okay? I just have to be honest with you. Everyone keeps saying he smells the worst. That's because Jerry Nadler poops his pants. I'm sure there are medical reasons for the fact he pooped his pants. I watched that video. I've posted that video before online. Jerry Nadler is on stage. Nancy Pelosi's giving a press conference. And Jerry Nadler, in the middle of it, starts doing the waddle walk off of stage. And that walk is the walk of a man who just pooped his pants. And he's going to get cleaned up. Jerry Nadler is a pooper, and everybody knows it. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.